I must acknowledge the fact that that has actually put me in a very, very uncomfortable situation because of that perception. Some who are contending, obviously, for the office of the presidency of Nigeria, and in fact, indeed, even the occupant of the office of the president of Nigeria is uncomfortable with me to some extent, and I find that really very, very discomforting. I find myself boxed into a corner that even if I want to make certain pronouncements or take certain decisions, I am kind of constrained because of that perception that's out there.
There appear to be an unease among the population about where the country is heading. You have people not pleased with the governance. Some people have questioned the legislature of not being overly effective in acting as a check and balance in a democracy that Nigeria finds itself in. What is your take on that?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the legislature in Nigeria, and in particular the House of Representatives, in the last 2 years, been doing our very, very best to ask questions and kind of serve as a check on the executive arm of government. Except to add that we have certain challenges of enforcement of our resolutions and respect for our resolutions. Otherwise, assuming without conceding that our resolutions have been respected and implemented, the executive arm of government, members of the Nigerian public would have appreciated more the role of the House of Representatives in trying to serve as a check on the executive arm of government. And of course, I understand and appreciate the concerns of Nigerians on that. But that's the current position of things. But we are looking at a law, at the possibility of passing a law to make the joint resolutions of the House of Representatives and Senate enforceable, to have a force of law, so that whenever such a situation arises and we have a resolution of the two chambers, then the executive arm will be no left with the... It will no longer be a question of it's being advisory, but carrying the force of law, and they will be left with no option but to implement the law.
Most Nigerians have expressed concern about the security situation in the country. You are here in Washington to highlight and underscore the importance of ensuring Nigeria bolsters security and protect its ordinary citizens. Do you think the government, various arms of government, have been effective in ensuring that the ordinary Nigerian is protected? Because the Boko Haram crisis as we find it now, it's not only a Nigerian issue. Sub-Saharan Africa, perhaps a world issue. How do you think this can be effectively addressed?
Well, I must start by saying that the Boko Haram issue, which by and large is a kind of a terrorism issue, is a new phenomenon to the Nigerian security outfits. Here, they are ill-prepared, ill-equipped to face such a very, very dire and serious challenge. And therefore, it has not been easy for them. Of course, as a government, and in particular the legislature, we've been doing our maximum best in terms of providing funding for their needs and support whatever it is that is required to ensure that the challenge is addressed. And of course, as a legislature also, we have passed the anti-terrorism law, which has empowered our security agencies now to take certain measures that are beyond the ordinary. So it's not as if the government was anticipated this problem. We were all ill prepared. I mean, in this case, I mean, our security agencies were ill prepared. They were never expecting it, and here we are confronting it. So within all these constraints and difficulties, they have been reasonably doing their maximum best. But you also have to take note of the fact that the members of Boko Haram, as it were, have no clear-cut identity that you can easily come to their respective houses and say, this is Boko Haram, and identify him and arrest him. No. Quite a number of them, if not majority of them, you hardly can see who they are, except those who come out to profess the Boko Haram, and then you begin to engage such individual. So it's been a very difficult situation. And when you are dealing with issues like this that are faith-based, so-called, you have a very serious challenge, and you have got to be a bit more careful as to the sensitivities of other people who profess similar faith. And in this case, I'm talking about Islam.
The government has proposed the carrot and stick issue to try to resolve this Boko Haram case. In your estimation, as a speaker of the House of Representatives, what do you propose is the best way forward to address this concern?
Well, part of our contribution as a parliament, as I said, is supporting the initiative of the government in terms of giving funding to security agencies. Outside all of that, I think one of the issues is that of engagement and dialogue. We've been talking about all of that, and possibly that's why the government constituted a panel that has been trying to engage the Boko Haram, leadership of Boko Haram, to ensure that they are persuaded and convinced to see reason and reason along with the nation on the need for peace as a basic requirement for whatever it is they want to preach. If you want to preach a different or a new religion entirely, you cannot only preach that religion and practice it. You cannot only do that if there's peace, but not in a state of war. So we've been supporting the government to kind of see how best we can continue to manage having a kind of a dialogue with the Boko Haram leadership.
Mr. Speaker, you know this better than me. Most Nigerians that you come into contact with always express the concern of graft or corruption in society, from the highest echelons to the lowest or the ordinary people. How do you regain confidence of the people?
One of the best ways, obviously, is to lead by example. As an elected person or public officer or an appointed public office holder, you show example in your lifestyle, in the way you conduct yourself, in the way and manner you engage people. If you are corrupt, it can be easily identified and said. And if you are in our situation in Nigeria, if you are fairly above board, people will easily identify it and say it. So one is either of the two ways. You're either corrupt or you live above board. Therefore, one of the best ways, in my own reasoning, is for leaders to live above board and show examples.
There have been instances where
That's one of the best ways to win the confidence of the people.
Absolutely. But you know as well as I do that there have been instances where institutions that have been implemented to check on graft have been used as a political weapon against enemies. How do you address those concerns?
But of course, that is more to do with, first and foremost, the headship and leadership of such institutions. If they allow themselves to be manipulated, and that's why we've been trying to kind of, through our constitutional amendment process, make the office of the Attorney General of the Federation and that of the federal government to be separated. Because the Attorney General of the Federation, as it were, under the current arrangement, so his office oversees the anti-corruption agencies, particularly the EFCC. And sometimes you could see, or you can say that, that they're being influenced from outside. But if they're independent, they have their proper funding, I believe that will help, and eventually you will get a better result of the fight against corruption.
Last but not the least, Mr. Speaker, what would be your message to Nigerians?
Well, definitely we are facing very, very challenging times and interesting times as a nation in our evolution and in our history. I seek for the cooperation and understanding of each and every Nigerian, for us to be patient and tolerant of one another. Definitely, Nigeria is a very, very complex country. We have our diversities. But God Almighty, that created all of us, has a reason for that. Had God wanted us to belong to one religion, not only as Nigerians, globally, the world over, he could have created all of us speaking the same language and worshipping in a particular manner. But in his wisdom, he created us in different tribes and languages and worshipping in different ways. So we as Nigerian people need to understand and appreciate these differences, and not to bury them, appreciate them, and continue to work together as one people with a common destiny. So I seek that our people, Nigerian people, should continue to embrace peace, to embrace brotherhood, to embrace love of one another, and continue to tolerate each other.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, for speaking to us. Thank you. Bye.